to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott, and we are back. It's News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone line here is 221-1402. If you have problems hearing, go to 1670. It's 10,000 watts, and we reach out there to Williams and all the way up past Mount Shasta. So if you're out there, even all the way up to Cedarville, the most beautiful place in the state, that's for you, Leonard. Hey, I'm joined today, speaking of beautiful places, my producer. He lives in a beautiful place.
Yeah. How's it going this morning?
Hey, we're back. We're standing upright, so it must be okay.
That's true.
And talking about being okay, here's my bride.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning. We have an interesting and wonderfully informative show today. We just got back from New Mexico, where we got to spend 3.5 lovely days with Carl's daughter and son-in-law and grandkids, which are now my family. And it's amazing to watch a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old. It was just a wonderfully rewarding trip. But one of the things that we saw in New Mexico, besides lots of Harleys, and we were in Albuquerque.
God's bite.
I'm telling you, I just wake up in the morning at the Hilton and hear that roar.
There you go.
But anyway, the prices were a lot less than they are here.
I still, here's
food, hotel, gas. Gas was $2.50.
Yeah, you know, well, gas, it's, you know, I can understand the part about the gas and the, you know, because of taxes, because California has taxes and fees and everything like that. But it's just, you know, you look at the cost of haircuts, you look at the cost of everything, and probably maybe a lot's got to do with competition. But I've said, and nobody has ever disagreed with me, is that the prices you see in Redding are about the same prices you see in San Diego, except for, car washes, and it's half the price in, San Diego, probably because they have labor that are undocumented.
And dry cleaning. Dry cleaning is very expensive here.
Anyway.
But anyway, going back about...
Wine.
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, we're speaking what we see.
Yeah.
And so here we have New Mexico, and I think on the whole about $4 cheaper for everything. What do you think?
It
took the girls to get manicures and pedicures, $4 cheaper than what you pay here. We went out to Elephant Bar. It felt like... all of us ate and had cocktails and hors d'oeuvres for $106. I mean, that's amazing.
It is. But, again, it goes back into the competition and such. So, but we love it here, so we don't mind paying our $12 for our burritos. Now, we've got to take a quick break here. We are surrounded by law enforcement people. Personally, I'm okay with that. But
watch
Frosty, Frosty's looking a little sweaty. Frosty, they did not bring the dog. Don't worry. Carl Lindabott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
So I'm trying to figure out how to let everyone know about our new phone number at Gallagher's Heating and Air, which is 1-800-FURNACE. So I went and talked to one of those fancy marketing experts.
Can we make that genius?
And what he said was,
1-800-FURNACE.
I needed to go get a
1-800-FURNACE
subliminal ad.
1-800-FURNACE.
And it sounded a little dicey to me.
1-800-FURNACE.
Because, you know, those things don't really work.
Yes, they do. Trust me.
But he insisted that was the way to go.
1-800-FURNACE.
Now, I wouldn't want it to seem sneaky.
1-800-FURNACE.
Or underhanded.
1-800-FURNACE.
Or, I don't know.
1-800-FURNACE.
Because that's just not the stand-up guy way.
1-800-FURNACE.
So for the record,
1-800-FURNACE.
In the future,
1-800-FURNACE.
You may hear voices. Not in your head, but on the radio.
1-800-FURNACE.
Telling you to remember that the phone number for the stand-up guys at Gallagher's
1-800-FURNACE.
Is 1-800-FURNACE. I'm Tim Gallagher, and I just wanted you to know.
1-800-FURNACE.
1-800-FURNACE.
I'm your digital pro, Kim Commando. Remember the good old days? One thing you don't want to remember is the old slow computers and internet connections of the 90s. So why does your computer sometimes take that trip down memory lane? Click on a page, go have lunch while it loads, open a program, take a nap while you wait. Computer problems can slow down your business and your life. Call Advanced Concepts. Their top-notch service can solve these problems and get you back to the future. Get more for your money with a custom-built computer tailored to your needs. From computers that tackle finances to workstations that churn out graphics to gaming platforms that will knock your socks off, Advanced Concepts has the right system for you. For hardware, software, and even complete business solutions, Advanced Concepts is your technology provider. Locally owned and operated, they take pride in the service they offer. Check them out on the web at www.acreading.com. Advanced Concepts, 2952 Pacelli Lane in Reading, next to Backyard Destinations. Call 222-2600.
My car has a warble in it. Can you help me? Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. You mean a wobble, don't you? No, it's definitely a warble, she said. Can you describe it for me? Well, first I hear a loud scream-like noise, and then a kaplunk and the warble starts. You know, the words you are using are not common descriptions of car problems. Perhaps I'd better drive your car. As I accelerated, I heard a loud screeching sound of a bolt being pulled through the car body. There's the scream, she said. Next, I heard a clunk as the bolt bottomed out. There's the kaplunk, but I don't feel the warble. Let's go back to the shop. I think I know what it is. Sure enough, I found four loose bolts and tightened them. She test drove the car and came back all excited. I described it well, didn't I? I pride myself in communication skills. Yes, you did, I replied. That's how I knew to tighten the seat. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California, where your words really mean something.
There are many mysteries that remain unsolved. We talk about them every night on Coast to Coast AM. Hi, I'm George Norrie, and join me overnights on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
In today's Reading Record Search Line and on the web at Reading.com, how to get your child to get more out of homework. That story and more in today's Reading Record Searchlight.
We can tell you about that one.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Let's go to the phones here. Hey, Gunny, good morning.
Good morning, Colonel. How are you, and how is Miss Linda?
Hey, we're
wonderful.
We're standing upright. We're surrounded by the blue here.
You know, speaking of the blues there, are they the K-9 officers?
No, because we can't allow any dogs here on the station because all the DJs run for cover.
Well, the reason I asked, Colonel, is our finance officer and the one of our state officers, Jim Berg, is a retired police officer, actually a commander from Milpitas, and his son Brian is a K-9 officer here in Reading, and that's how they happen to move to the city.
No, you know, no. These are we have California Highway Patrol here today, and
but it's okay to speed then.
Yeah, right now you're safe on one spot in I-5.
But
I'm not allowed to tell you where. Hey, Gunny, you were going to call about a great thing the Order of the Purple Heart did this last couple of weeks.
Yes, sir, and I am delighted to bring this to people's attention. Also, if I could please give you and Linda a great big thanks for your help in promoting our golf tournament, which is where our golf tournament and our Viola sales, like when we see us out in front of Kmart and Walmart, is where we collect our money that we can turn right around and direct to the veterans and their families. And this particular thing happened, I was speaking of Jim Berg. He is also a member of the grand jury, and he was chatting with some of his colleagues on the grand jury, and he found out about this young lady whose husband has been deployed.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the car broke. Anyway, yeah. I was getting ready to leave for our national convention. So I had him and our senior vice commander, Wayne Inc., call around. You know, we just can't arbitrarily write a check. We leave a paper trail where everybody, there takes three signatures and approvals. And so I got the balls rolling, and then they took over and did a marvelous job. And the end result was actually, they're not. It started out being diagnosed as bad gaskets, but she's wound up now getting completely rebuilt engine that our chapter is paying for, thanks to the generosity of the people in Reading. And not only that, she's up in Washington now, and Jim and Patty Berg are going to deliver the car to her.
You know what? The Order of the Purple Heart has done so many great things for this community, and again, it's just indicative of what you all did to help this veterans, a warrior who is over deployed to Afghanistan.
In our behalf.
In our behalf. And you all, again, in Reading, has come through one more time.
Well, you know, we do. I don't want to get maudlin or anything, but we feel blessed. That's another thing I wanted to say, too, about our fundraising is we buy our own lunch. We buy our own coffee. There's no salaries in our organization. Every dollar we get goes back into the community, either for civic, like the $1,000 scholarships we give, or supplies for the vet, for the clinic, the VA clinic, or in this case,
the car. You know, Gunny, the only thing I can say is you've got our deepest appreciation and the appreciation of our community.
Well, here again, that's why I wanted to bring this to your attention, because we have another golf tournament coming up, I think, in April. And anybody, we are a congressionally chartered veteran service organization, and we enjoy a 501c tax status. So anybody that wants to make a donation to our organization or help in the golf tournament or sponsor a hole, it's a win-win because they can do something good for the veterans community and also get a tax write-off.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we will be giving the April golf tournament lots and lots of attention, I promise you.
Thank you for your call, Bill.
Linda, thank you so much, and God bless. You guys are doing the Lord's work, and it's a pleasure to have you count you as friends.
Thank you so much, Gunny.
It's the same for us. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Love to hear those success stories.
You know, these guys, you know what? These are... They're in their 70s, you know, some of them older than that. Terrible wounds, many of them. And they put so much out for the community. And I don't even know if people realize this Order of the Purple Heart. The only way you get into it, my friends, is to get hurt, is to have to be wounded in combat. You know, the people have tried to change it around, but no, we're talking about blood. We're talking about loss of limbs in many cases. So, anyway.
Well, our subject today is, when is a pickup really a pickup?
We're talking about trucks here and not down at the at Johnny's Cat House. So don't get excited there, folks.
When is a truck really a truck? How's that? Vroom. And in the studio today, we have Officer Sean Bridget, Aaron Galeo, Tim Hugel, and Monty Height. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And the reason this came up was Monty's been sending some emails to me because, one, he's got, first of all, he considers me an idol because I ride a Harley. he writes these little notes to me, and I send things back to him and said, you know, hey, Monty, I realize you're a retired highway patrolman. You've done so many things, driven all over the world. It's too bad you can't afford a Harley. Especially at the big bucks. I know the state of California pays all retired highway patrolmen. But here's what it is this came up was the article that Monty wrote about the restrictions on one-ton pickups, if I'm reading this right. Or, you know, when people buy this one-ton and others, and the huge impact this can have on them driving down the road because they can get a ticket for just driving that pickup. And we're going to discuss that as soon as we get back from this break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 221-1402.
I'm going to start with a question for Tim Hugel. Tim, are you telling me that if I just buy a truck and I'm out on the street, I could possibly get a ticket? I mean, we need to get some clarification here. How did this whole thing start?
How it came about, we have to back up a little bit into 1996. The federal government deregulated all the state's public utilities commissions from the oversight of commercial motor vehicles, trucks. And so the state of California created what was called the Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act, which then imposed the regulations of oversight to Department of Motor Vehicles and the California Highway Patrol for the operation of certain commercial motor vehicles. Prior to this enactment, we were only dealing with commercial trucks that were 26,001 or better on the gross vehicle weight rating. With the enactment of this particular bill, it now brought in vehicles that are over 10,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating that are commercial motor vehicles. Thus, you have millions of these types of vehicles out there that are now under some purview of a regulatory oversight through Department of Motor Vehicles and the Highway Patrol.
So what's that mean? That if you've got a, I understand
it's
the
like algebra
legalese,
on the wall.
Yeah, but we just lost
break
half
it down,
our viewers.
Tim.
We just lost half our listeners on that.
Right. Okay.
Thanks, Tim, for killing this show. Hey, what you mean is if you've got a truck that weighs over 10,000 pounds, you can get a ticket, maybe.
Maybe. That's correct. That's the key word, maybe. Obviously, we're dealing with definitions. Vehicle code is riddled with definitions. Pickup truck is one of the definitions that was instituted with this act, the Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act. It now defines a pickup truck as a vehicle that has the 9-foot open bed box, that it's got an unladen weight of 8,000 pounds or less, and that it has a gross vehicle weight rating, what it's rated by the manufacturer to carry, of no more than 11,499 pounds.
Okay, now, a like an F-150 would be okay.
Ford's number one truck.
Yeah,
right.
And number one, in fact, number one seller in the United States, but which I drive. So what you're saying, though, when you get up to the one-ton types of trucks, they're going to be over that 11.5.
They may or may not.
But if they are, then they come under a new regulation.
That's correct. They come under the purview of the motor carrier, a property permit requirement, the requirement to obtain a carrier identification number through the California Highway Patrol, which then boils down to an increase in your liability insurance coverage for that vehicle.
I think that goes up to, what, $750,000?
Correct.
That you've got to have?
Minimum.
Okay, now, Officer Bridget.
Yes.
You are the one that writes the tickets.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
so
among other things.
So,
and enjoys it, too.
So, Officer Bridget, question. When you are in a meeting with your officers and they say, okay, this is what we're looking for, perhaps, you know, the beginning of Monday, whenever you guys do your meetings and you have to be on the lookout on the street for, do they even talk about this?
We do. We actually have a list established where we will record the people who we've already talked to and given warning letters and so forth to be in compliance. And if they don't get into compliance by the next time we see them, then they could get a citation or even have their vehicle impounded.
Okay, you're driving down the road. You see a dually driving down the road. You look for a sticker or something on the truck.
Yeah, if it looks like it's going to be rated at over 11.5, just based on our training and experience, and it doesn't have any markings on it, such as a CA number or carrier name, then that would be enough probable cause to pull the vehicle over and check the gross vehicle weight rating and start initiate investigation on it.
Okay.
So these guys, you maybe have two or three trucks that are doing a business, let's say hauling, pool, gardening. These now, what is the fine, and or in order to become insured or whatever this new California law is, what's the procedure? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening right now are alarmed because this sounds, it is official. This is happening. That's why you guys are here.
That's correct.
Well, just wanted to clarify, as Tim pointed out, that this actually isn't new. It's since 1996. It's just that a lot of people still don't know about it.
Well, it's new to everybody that gets pulled over.
We're in Reading.
That's right. Yeah.
If I can add to this, what happened is we've been doing this for 13 years. In the beginning of the whole process, we were dealing with the larger trucks primarily. Well, now that we've had more education, more training for the commercial officers to educate them on all of the nuances of this whole program, because the complexity of the commercial vehicle regulations are immense, that now we're down to that threshold where we're basically looking at the pickup trucks, because we've got the other entities, the larger truck companies and such, that are truck companies in compliance with the requirements.
Hey, we've got people on the line with some questions here. We've got to take a quick break here for the news. This is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 221-1402. Let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda. Welcome back home.
Thank you, John.
You know, it is always good to get back to our home and our friends.
We love Reading.
I understand that perfectly. I just got back from 9 days in Minnesota, and I am very happy. I mean, I loved Minnesota. It was great. But boy, is it nice to be home.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like though every time we leave, there's fires begin. I'm not sure what's going on there.
What's up with that? Listen, I want to ask the CHP officers there a question, kind of off the track. I'm not into the one-ton truck thing right now, but I'd like to just bring something up and have some kind of an explanation from them, if they could. On the front page of the Reading Searchlight yesterday, there was an article that said that the CHP methamphetamine task force agents were out enforcing illegal lane changes and stumbled on 120 pounds of marijuana. Now, I understand about reasonable cause, but and the necessity for this, but isn't this law enforcement stretching the law to suit the purpose? And this is serious in that it can reflect on any activities. I'd like to have an answer from the CHP.
This is Officer Bridget. I'm not familiar with that article or the background on that story. I'm sorry, I couldn't really answer that.
Okay. Then I've got one more, and I'm going to be off the air. Okay.
Look, wait, John, let's go back there for a second. What you're saying is they used the meth, the money that paying for the meth group of law enforcement were doing traffic control.
There was two CHP methamphetamine task force officers cruising right. The highway, saw a car make an illegal lane change.
Oh, okay, I see.
And they stopped the car and found 120 pounds of marijuana.
Boy, they were lucky, huh?
Weren't they lucky? I mean, it's just so convenient.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been told is a lot of times they pull somebody over and they say, you know, they see telltales inside a car. And they see the way a person acts. And a lot of times, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that you ask, do you mind if I search your car? And they say, oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah.
And when they do, oh, excuse me, I've got 120 pounds of pot in my back, in my trunk. I mean, it doesn't mean they're really smart just because they're moving 120 pounds of pot.
I'm familiar with that scenario, Carl. The only part that had me confused is these are specially assigned methamphetamine enforcement agents. Now, put that aside for a second. I just want to ask a question, and that is law enforcement generally so restricted on budgets that they can't afford Bluetooth for the officers?
The Highway Patrol has provided wireless devices for our cell phones. There's only limited number of officers that have phones assigned by the department, and those phones all come with hands-free devices.
Okay,
that's the Highway Patrol. It doesn't necessarily mean the Reading Police Department, though.
Yeah, or the Sheriff's Department.
Or the Sheriff's Department.
Other enforcement agencies, I believe.
Or, you know, Hue and Cry Security when they drive around, too.
I'm not here to bust you guys up about anything. I'm just concerned about this manufacturing of reasonable cause. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's a good thing for law enforcement to stretch laws to suit the purpose of law enforcement.
Well, you know, it's that's a good point because, you know, you stretch it one way, you can stretch it another way.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, John, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Guys, have a great day.
Let's go back with the question that we had for Officer Bridget before regarding if you're the one who gives the tickets. If somebody is not in a compliance or whatever, how you want to describe, they've gone through all the legal fees and everything, what does it cost if you get pulled over and you aren't legal with your weight of your truck?
Well, typically I don't issue citations for these violations. If I pull someone over and it's the first time and they didn't know anything about these regulations, then I feel it's our job to educate them and help them through the system. So I'll give them all the information they need to get into compliance without a citation, and they'll follow up later. However, if I pull someone over who's already been warned and we've already contacted them, then they're going to get their truck impounded. And this is a last resort, but it's someone who may have already had a citation or may have previously had their truck impounded, and they're just ignoring the rules, and it's making it unfair for the other people in business who are complying. But generally, don't issue a citation. And to get the permit from DMV, it's only $35 if you're not for hire and you have 10 vehicles or less. That's a processing fee that DMV charges. And then to get in compliance, you may have to pay more for your insurance because, like it was already mentioned, it's $750,000 minimum in liability coverage.
You know, I've got a bunch of questions about that, but let's go to the phones here. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on Free Fire Radio.
Just a question, and I guess this thing has been on the books since 1996. Is that correct?
Correct.
Well, I'll be darned. is this a mandate that came out of Sacramento because the state of California is so broke that they're going to go out and they're going to pry and push and get every dime they can get from the public, no matter what?
No, this is something we've been dealing with for many years prior to our budgetary woes.
You know, but let me...
If you get back to a private contractor, he's going to have to pony up that kind of money for liability insurance. Will this be another nail in the coffin that people's going to say, I can no longer do business in California, and it'll be detrimental to trying to raise money, these people to move out of the state?
The private contractors that I'm aware of already have the liability insurance as part of their business operation, and their vehicles are covered. They just don't have the motor carrier permit that's required for the operation of the vehicle.
And that's the $35 one we're talking
Correct.
About.
And you have to understand private versus for hire. Many businesses are for hire in the sense that they provide a service and they have these vehicle types, but they're private. They're only hauling their own product, their own material around to perform the service that they're hiring out to do.
Hey, Tim, part of the problem is that when they said what exactly is a pickup truck and they went to the gross weights, this wasn't based on 96, was it? Wasn't this based on years ago when trucks were a lot lighter?
Correct. Prior, I'd say in the last... 8 years or so, we're seeing larger pickup trucks, as we all know them by sight, that have a much larger gross vehicle weight rating and bigger brakes and such due to the larger recreational vehicles that are out there that are being sold today. And so when this definition was created, it was based off of the vehicle types that were built at that time. You didn't see the pickup trucks with the 12, 13, 14,000 gross vehicle weight ratings.
Does that answer your question, Bruce?
Yeah, somewhat, it surely did. Just didn't want to get no more negative on small business than
it's
going to bring down in 212. So.
Well, yeah, you know, the thing is that Tim made a good point, is that most businesses already have that insurance. I think where this is really going to impact is your people that buy this vehicle or have bought this vehicle to pull that fifth wheeler, pull that, you know, trailer with the toy box and all the other
right.
stuff. And I think that those are the ones that all of a sudden are going to go $750,000 worth of insurance.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
Where's that suckage
yeah.
button?
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, Bruce.
All right, thanks.
Hey, Ben, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you, Ben?
Great, thank you. Hey, I had a question, and I'm not sure, maybe while I was talking to your receptionist, you kind of answered part of it, but possibly not. I've got a 3/4-ton regular pickup. I put a flatbed on it here about 6 years ago, and I've recently been told by a ton of people, hey, do not drive past the weigh station down there without pulling in or you'll get a major ticket. Could they clarify that for me? Is there a possibility?
That's true. Once you remove the stock pickup bed, and as you said, you put a flatbed on it, it's no longer a pickup truck. It no longer fits the legal vehicle code definition of pickup. It's now a motor truck, and as the sign says at the scales, all trucks must stop other than pickup trucks. So, unfortunately, yes, you are required by law to pull in there.
Okay. Well, and then one other question. Does that when I pull in there... You know, I'm just wondering, are you going to inspect the truck? Are you going to tell me what I should and shouldn't have on my truck? I'm just trying to figure out what's the legal ramifications. Because I've had this flatbed on my truck now for 6 years. And,
right.
You know, as you pull through
the scale, the officers working at the scale are going to look at the truck as it goes by. If they see any violations, they may signal you to come in. On the smaller trucks, they're generally not looking at those as closely unless it looks like you may be in violation of what we're talking about here today with the motor carrier permit and the CA number and so on. If you have a smaller truck that's going to be rated at less than 10,000 pounds, then they're probably not going to look at you very
Great.
Closely.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
You bet, Ben. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your phone call. Hey, look, this is Carl Lindabot here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We got to take a quick break here, and we'll get to your phone calls as soon as we return. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 221-1402. Now, before we get to our callers and all the lines are lit up right now, this is not being done by the Highway Patrol to gain money, because none of that money goes back to the Highway Patrol and, you know, for these tickets. And as you've heard, Officer Bridget says they try to get people through this. How can people with they're not in business change this?
They can contact their legislator, because this is all done through the state legislature, and we are merely enforcing the law. We didn't make the law. For example, the dealers are not even required to pass this information on to the buyers. And it would be nice, because that's a complaint I hear almost daily from people who buy an expensive vehicle, and they find out after the fact all these requirements, and they say they would never have bought the vehicle in the first place.
Because the cost of insurance has got to be a lot higher than just your regular insurance you would have on your truck, on a pickup truck.
Right.
Wow.
So, Tim, for our listeners, could you please direct them to a website and or a phone number so that if anybody's concerned, oh, my gosh, I need to come into compliance, where would they go?
The first place they need to go or call is the Motor Carrier Safety Unit from where I'm out of within Northern Division. The phone number is 530-225-2098. We actually will ask some pertinent questions to determine what type of operation you have, what types of vehicles you're operating, and then address those issues correctly with you. And then we actually do the paperwork over the phone to get the carrier identification number going. We process those applications Tuesdays and Thursdays every week. We mail the notification of the CA number, which it's referred to as, directly out of our office to the individual who's subject. And then the motor carrier permit application is available online. If they don't have any means to access it, we have copies. We will mail them the motor carrier permit application as well. But the form is available at
you. Are there any exceptions?
There are exceptions to this rule, as with many rules. The biggest one is with the RVs, the RV exemption, they call it. Basically, if you're using this particular pickup truck that has the gross vehicle weight rating over 11,500 and you're using it to solely pull a recreational vehicle, utility trailer, something to that effect, then you would not be subject. And you can go up to 26,000 pounds on the gross vehicle weight rating with the truck tractor or motor truck or this pickup truck pulling a trailer like that. But use solely means just that. If you unhook and it's identified or stopped by an officer operating other than pulling that trailer, then you will be placed subject to the requirements.
So the toy haulers are happy about that. Shall we go to the phones, Carl?
Greg, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Well, good morning, Carl and Linda. Welcome back from your vacation. Well deserved.
Well, I don't know about that, but thanks, Greg.
Oh, well deserved, because you guys put on a fabulous show, but that took a lot of energy out of you. So
you
deserved your break. Did have a question for the officers with further defining the issue of private use or personal use versus commercial use or for hire. They touched upon that a moment ago. And I also did want to say thank you, Carl and Linda, for all of the things that you do for our community, including supporting Bostonian Tea Party. And tonight at 6 o'clock at McLaughlin Auditorium, Sequoia Middle School, we are hosting Chuck DeVore. So come on down.
And DeVore's running against who?
He's running against Barbara Boxer for the Senate seat.
That's right. You know, I think I'll probably be there tonight.
Cool.
Okay, what was the question? Because we have to take a quick break here.
Well, it's with regards to the private personal use versus the commercial or for hire use.
Okay.
They define that.
Okay, now we're going to have to take a break, but we're going to answer that as soon as we get back. Thanks for your phone call, Greg.
Thanks.
Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We've got 6 minutes, so we're in the rapid fire zone here. Okay, that $35 we talked about, you cannot just go down to DMV, pay $35. You've got to go to these websites, download the information, and then use that, right?
Or call 229-2098 or 225-2098.
You need to start with the Highway Patrol in order to get a carrier identification number. That's where it starts.
Wow.
Then you mail your application for the motor carrier permit to a Sacramento address. The local DMV offices don't know anything about this program. It's all handled by mail through Sacramento, so don't go down to your local DMV.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Ron, thanks for waiting.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
My question is about, I'd like to get a trailer one of these days. Anyhow, I see these two-axled, I guess they're called dump trailers that people are hauling are using. Is there any weight ratio, or do you have to have license or numbers like you're talking about for those particular trailers, and I'll take my answer on the air.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, you do. If the trailer has a gross vehicle weight rating over 10,000 pounds, you're required to have a commercial Class A driver's license, and then it will place you subject to the CA number, the motor carrier permit as well.
I just realized what a lawbreaker I am. Dan, this is Free Fire Radio. You're on. Rapid fire.
Hi. I was wanting to know what law or statement you guys are talking about. I got in late.
Okay. Tim?
We're talking about the motor carrier permit program, and that's out of the vehicle code. Section 34600 is where it begins, division 14.85. And it's dealing with vehicle types that are commercial motor vehicles over a certain threshold, in this case, pickup trucks that exceed 11,499 pounds.
What we found, Dan, is this, is that if you've got like a, you know, you buy a dually or a one-ton, that you probably fall under that. And the, since you, you're going to, you know, it's going to be over 10,000 or 11,500 pounds. Let's say you buy that dually to haul that trailer. You can, you could fall under that. And that means that you have to get a special permit, but also $750,000 worth of insurance.
The vehicle types we're primarily talking about through experience on my part. We're talking about the Ford F-450s, 550s, your Dodge Super Duties, the 3500s that are diesel, crew cabs. They may or may not be a dually. I just saw one here that came in at $12,000, and it was just a standard rear-wheel drive, four-wheel drive pickup that came in at $12,000.
Does that answer your question, Dan?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, wait a minute. There's another thing, we're going to say the phone number. If you got any questions, that phone number again is
225-2098.
Okay, Dan. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Quick fire here. Would you and Linda do another program on the red light cameras? I see in Sunday's paper that we are in the red. We are losing money on that whole program, and they're putting another five in. And we're in the red on that program. I think it's a good thing, but it was sold as something else. And now we're a big article in yesterday's paper about we're losing money on the whole thing.
Okay. Monty.
Yeah, this is Monty. I read that article also. I think it was a very informative article. And it also provided a little information. When it says we're in the red, it just means that the city of Reading has a contract with Redflex in which we pay a specific amount per intersection, and some of those intersections aren't generating as much revenue as they anticipated. So I think at some point I think you have a good idea that we have the folks from RPD, of which I used to work with those folks on that.
Now wait a minute, you know, we had Chief Modi on here at one time. We talked about these, Bill. I don't know if you heard that one, but what he said was we do not pay a cent for this. That it's up to, you know, up to, say we charge, they charge us $6,000 per light. But they get their money out of fines, and if they don't make that $6,000, we don't pay them a cent.
Exactly. If we don't make the $6,000, then they settle for the amount that we do.
Yeah.
So we don't make any money on it. We're not losing money.
But we're not losing any money.
That's right.
Okay.
And that's a good point.
That's what I think wasn't clear. If they're saying we're in the red on it, we are not paying out money each month.
The city of Reading
is not. That's good.
No, they're not losing money.
Okay, hey, thank you very much.
You bet. Hey, you know what, though? You know, red light cameras. Show me in the Constitution where you can do that. You know, I've got a lot of problems with
this
red light cameras.
This has been a really informative day. And like, gentlemen, we need to have you come back because, and Aaron as well. Because we talked earlier at the break that there's several veins to this issue. It's not just the trucks. It goes into trailers and many other aspects of our vehicles.
So there are many variables to this. That's why we encourage you to call so we can ask you certain questions to ensure that we're advising you correctly on what your requirements are or if you're accepted all the way around.
Now, one of the things that I saw on the that somebody wrote was said, put a camper shell on it, re-register as a motorhome, and avoid the weight fees and nonsensical motor carrier requirements, which to me, I only got a minute left, makes sense. However, I understand if you take that camper shell off it, you are liable now for everything if they pull you over for that whole year plus fines.
Correct.
Okay, that's just something to think about. Okay, tomorrow we've got an author on that's traveled throughout the world walking, not riding, not flying, but by walking, and he's got quite a few stories, but it's also open line, and I tell you what, there's a lot of things going on here from healthcare to Wally Herger and right-wing extremist terrorist, quote, quote, quote. Carl Linda Bott. It's Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?